sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burden.
Just to think back to when you were in third, fourth grade. If you can remember back that far. When I was in fourth grade, can you find me? Uh-oh, laser, there I am. Okay, it's about 9 years old. Full of life, had a lot of energy, willing to take on most things, most challenges. And I remember at my elementary school, they were having a big musical. And this was kind of bigger than the norm. They wanted to do a big production. And so they were actually doing auditions for this musical. And being nine, being full of life, believing in myself, I thought, I'll try out for this audition. You know, what, I don't know what an audition looks like or, you know, what it's going to be like to do this, but I knew that I had to show up in the music room during recess, and they were doing auditions. So I go to the music room, and there's this big line going, you know, out the door of the music room. All these kids are auditioning, and there's a music teacher in there with the piano, and it's just, you know, get in line, and, you know, next one, she'd play a little line of a song that we all knew, and we'd sing that line of the song. And I remember waiting and getting up to the front and doing that, and the music teacher looked at me like, finally, somebody who can carry a tune in a bucket. Or wheelbarrow, sorry. So I was actually surprised. She seemed like, wow, you know, Jeff, you know what? You've got the lead role. And I thought, awesome, I get to be Davy Crockett. Coonskin cap, musket, you know. I was pretty excited about this. And then practices started, and we had during our music class, you know, it was practice. And it was a big production. The whole gym was packed with parents for the big show. And I was so sick, I could almost throw up. I was nervous. But I really enjoyed it, too. And they kind of made it more doable for little kids. They had like four acts or something, and so they had four different Davy Crocketts or whatever, so that you just had to remember your part. And I had a solo that I had to sing, you know. But just sometimes you look back on yourself and you're just like, how did I do that? Where did that boldness come from? Where was that bravery to just step out and at 9 years old and sing in front of 200 people? But then it was about a week later, we were on a field trip, our class, at the zoo. And we were all walking through as a group. And I remember walking with one of my friends, and I hear from behind me, you know, the three boys. There's always those three boys in your life, right? The hecklers. Maybe you were one of the three boys, I don't know. But I hear one of them say, "Hey, Davy Crockett, you sound like a girl when you sing." You know, and just my whole world came crushing down on me as far as my newfound, you know, glory as a musical actor. And, you know, it's a comment, it hurts, you're a kid, big deal. But for the next 10 years after that comment, I was extremely cautious about singing where anybody could hear me. You know, we'd go to church and everybody's singing and I could kind of sing quietly under my breath and nobody could really hear. That was okay. But to sing out, to really sing out with confidence like I did in front of that whole gym, that was gone from a comment. So this morning, and we'll revisit that story in a minute, but this morning we're talking about, welcome, my name's Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here at Adventure Church. If you're visiting, you are in week 3 of a series where we're talking about our core values at Adventure Church, and we describe those in a way that we can understand them as four streams, okay? So we're in week 3, which is healing, okay? So we've done discipleship or walking with God, where we believe that if you drink from each of these streams, there's a deeper, fuller life with God that you can experience, relationship with him. So discipleship is that conversational, intimate relationship with God that's available to us. Not God far and on a throne and kind of disinterested or too busy for you, but a loving Father, a good, good Father. We believe the words of that song that we just sang. And he wants to walk with us. He wants to speak with us, not just us send up prayers to him, but he wants to interact with us. That's discipleship. You can go online and listen to all of these and kind of catch up if you've missed the last couple of weeks. Warfare was last week. Randy talked about warfare, which is we live in a world at war. If your understanding of life is there's God, there's you, and there's other people, then there's going to be a lot of confusion in your life. And you're going to wind up blaming God or blaming yourself or blaming others for some things that the enemy is doing in your life to try and keep you from stream number one, which is that intimacy, the walking with God. So we live in a world at war, and we're called to engage in standing in our authority, standing in our victory that we have in Christ, and not letting him throw us off course of that relationship. So healing is what we're talking about this morning, and I want to define healing in the stream that we're talking about here. This is an inner healing. This is who you are is made up of your spirit, your soul, your heart, your mind. And there's a wholeness that God designed and intended for us. When he designed man and woman in his image, when he set us in the Garden of Eden, he designed us to be whole, not broken. So what does that look like? So, you know, I imagine in a room this size, with everybody here who's here, you know, there's some here who have this terrifying fear of getting up and doing what I'm doing right now. Okay? I'd imagine there's a few of you. Others cringe when their parents call. Oh, how am I going to get through this conversation? Maybe you can't break a little addiction to sweets or to video games or TV, or, you know, it's just a little more consuming of you than you want it to be. But you can't seem to break it. Biting your nails. Why does something in you freeze when someone wants to talk personally with you? Or maybe when somebody cries in front of you, are you incredibly uncomfortable with that? What's going on there? Why do some of us wrestle with giving up control in our lives? And others of us can't take control, can't stand up, can't step in when we need to step in and take control of a situation. We shy back. We're afraid of it. Emotions that come out of nowhere, instant anger, just from you're fine to you are in a rage, just like that. Depression, okay? A fear, a paralyzing fear of something. Why are these things surfacing in our lives as believers, as followers of Christ, under the completed work of Christ? Why are these things showing their heads? Is it just personality? I mean, some people just, it's their personality not get up here. Is it supposed to be comfortable for everyone to want to get up and sing, you know, in a musical or stand up front and teach? No, not necessarily. But can we dismiss all of that as just, it's not my personality? You know, what about some of the other things I listed off? Is that just sin and we just need to stop doing it? Just cut it out? Just change? Or is there something deeper going on? So back to Davy Crockett, little curly-haired Davy Crockett. About 10 years after that event, I came into a relationship with Jesus and understood to a depth what he had done for me. And so I made him Lord of my life. And at that time, at that moment, I experienced this newness of, you know, it's like the flowers are more colorful now, you know, and they're just life all around me was more vivid. But I still didn't sing in front of people. You know, that didn't come back. I don't know if you guys can identify with this at all, but if you think back to when you received Christ, however long ago that was, was everything fixed? Maybe some could say yes, but for some of us, we still struggled with some things. It still didn't feel like we were whole. Well, I walked with God, and I noticed, you know, through the first couple of years of walking with him, I loved to play the guitar and sing, but, you know, it was in my room by myself. Well, my secular, you know, folk music, you know, that I used to play by myself turned into worship songs. Wow, you know, I like this song they sang at church. I want to do that at home. And so I started to develop, and what I realized now was God drawing me back out again. And so I had these wonderful times of worship, just God and I. And he tenderly came in and pursued my heart and started to open me up more. To where now I was singing out, praising him, worshiping him, just him and I, where I knew I was safe. Well, then he brought me into a fellowship, into a community, which is our stream next week we're talking about, where there was a leader there, the leader of the college group that I was in, and the co-leader, who is now my wife, Star, started to notice, you know, you can sing. You know, we'd sing as a group, and I'd kind of sing, and they can kind of hear you. And then they heard somehow it slipped out that I play the guitar. And so in this college, small college group, you know, the leader, Mark, he would bring his guitar and he'd lead us. And he's like, you should bring your guitar and just play. And I'm like, no way, I'm not going to do that. He's like, okay, just bring your guitar and just you and I will mess around then. You know, and he's just easing me into this. And it was God drawing me back out. And so I started to play with Mark. And he's like, you know, you don't even need to sing. Just come and play along with me. For our Wednesday nights or whatever night it was that we'd have our college group. So I started doing that and being more comfortable with that. And then, of course, one week Mark gets sick and he says, hey, Jeff, you know the songs. Can you don't just start out singing and then everyone will join in and sing and you can just kind of, you know, move your lips and keep playing the guitar and just help lead worship. Oh, my gosh, you know, and through all these stages of things that he's asking of me, I'm talking with God going, I can't do this. This is, you know, this fear. And I'm not thinking back to the three knuckleheads in elementary school who told me I sound like a girl. I'm not connecting that at all of why this is such a struggle for me, because it wasn't when I was 9. But he walks me through that. And eventually he gets me to the place where now Mark has been asked to start a Saturday night service at our church. You know, this is a big church. And now we're going to have a Saturday night service, and he's going to lead the worship, and he's forming a worship team. So before I know it, I find myself now on this worship team on Saturday nights in the service, leading worship with him. And I find this new freedom in it, and God comes in and he restores that area of my heart that was still broken even after receiving him. Because he doesn't stop there. He's after wholeness in your heart so that you're functioning the way he originally designed you. Okay? And then from there, Star and I have sang at a couple weddings. And I remember doing that thinking, this is unbelievable that God has restored me to a place of actually enjoying and not being terrified with that, but enjoying that. So one story of restoration. Randy has talked a bit about, he touched on this stream as he's been kind of overviewing them, and he talked about Jesus making it very clear what his mission was when he came. Remember, after the temptation in the desert, and he comes back out, he goes into the temple, and during the reading of scriptures, he's handed the scroll of Isaiah. And this is what happens. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Jesus went to church too. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." And there's many ways that you can be a prisoner in your life. "And recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wouldn't that be cool to be there for some of these events? When Jesus did these things, just this power, this quiet power that he just walks up and takes the scroll, reads it, sits down. He's got everyone's attention. In Isaiah, he quotes out of Isaiah 61, and in that text, in those first two verses, says that he's come to heal up, to bind up the brokenhearted. And it's not just a metaphor that to say broken heart. How does your heart break? The same word that's used in Isaiah for broken heart, the broken, is also used in Isaiah in three other places. In Isaiah 27:11, it's describing the snapping of a twig. Okay? So this breaking of this dry twig. Isaiah 21:9 is the shattering of the idols of Babylon. They're shattered to the ground. They use that word, that same word, broken. And then a broken bone in Isaiah 38:13, a fractured bone. Okay? So your heart can be broken. And Jesus has come to restore that brokenness. That's what we're talking about healing this morning. We know very well John 10:10. He's come to give us life and give it to the full. Fullness of life. Super abundant life, as Randy was describing last week. So that's what he's after. Have you noticed that your life is unfolding like a story? Okay, there's drama, there's grief, there's adventure, romance, risk, failure, success. There's all these things happening, including my throat drying out. So I gotta grab my drink here. Before I go into a coughing fit. So, but from God's perspective, it's not just the events of your life that make up your story, but it's how those events have affected you. So how did those events affect me? That's just one thing in my life. You know, that event that I shared. So there's lots of events in your life, and they've affected your heart. And we all deal with that in different ways. Some of us are just, you know, fists clenched right now. Like, okay, Jeff, I get it, but I'm fine. I'm good. There's nothing in my life. Some of us are like, I'm a mess, and I don't know how to put it back together again. And all over on that spectrum. But we've all experienced life in different ways. Just take family, for example. Excuse me. Just take family. What's the goal of family? What was the intention of family? To see your glory, to call it up, encourage it, develop it, and then release it onto the world. That's what family's meant for. How often does that happen? I mean, flawlessly. Was that your experience of family? Only that. Maybe some. Think about Joseph. You know, remember Joseph, the favored son of his father, gets this dream. God's revealing his glory and his calling, and he's all excited about that. And how does he experience family with that? You know, how do his brothers address that glory that Joseph has in his life? You know, let's kill him. Let's throw him in a big hole. Let's sell him into slavery. Let's dip his robe in blood and take it back to dad. That's how his glory is noticed by his family. Or David, you know, there's a really interesting insight into David and his relationship with his brothers when he goes out to the battle where Goliath was. You remember that? I think I have a little piece of that. So he's told by his father to go out to the battlefield and take food for his brothers and for the soldiers. This is how his older brother receives him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." It's just, the Bible's just real life. Okay, this guy's jealous of his brother. And David kind of responds to that. If you read in the text, he's kind of like, "What? Can't I say anything? What did I do now?" You know, the little brother's just like, "Get off my back, Eliab." So that's, you know, that's family. I was listening to somebody teaching on this idea of healing and inner healing that God wants to bring, and he was sharing a story, and he's a counselor too. He's sharing a story of a woman that came to him in her mid-50s, and she was wanting to find freedom from a habit that she'd developed that was overtaking her life, and it was collecting teddy bears. Okay, now I know some of us have collections and we like to collect things, and that's okay. But she had gotten to a point where her house was overrun for more than 400 teddy bear things, posters everywhere. There's no more room to put teddy bears. Okay, it seems kind of silly. It seems like, you know, just stop, you know, get rid of some of the teddy bears and make room for other things in your house. But this man, understanding there's broken places in us, and they come from somewhere. So he started to talk with her and have her share her story a little bit, and okay, getting down to the root of it, when she was a little girl, she had a favored teddy bear, okay? This teddy bear had the place of honor on her pillow. This teddy bear went to kindergarten on the first day with her. Everywhere she went, she had this teddy bear. Okay? However, one day, her dad, in a fit of rage, ripped the head off of the teddy bear in front of her. Okay? We're talking about a little girl. She's maybe 5-6 years old. As she reveals this more and more, she starts to see even this connection. Like, you can't see it when you're in it. And you live your life with something like that, and everyone's like rolling their eyes and get over it and just, you know, why do you do this? But you can't see that connection until God makes it for you and helps you to see. There's something broken in you. Here's your father, the one you look to for security, support, encouragement, comfort. And in a fit of rage, he lost it. I don't know that he was a dad who was always getting angry like that, but in that moment he did. And something broke in that little girl's heart. And now God's coming back in her 50s and wanting to restore that and walk her through restoration so that she can live free. Is that fullness of life? Feeling like you're stuck in some addiction or some habit, in some personality trait that you've kind of owned now because you've lived with it for so long, and it's just who you are. God wants to bring freedom from those things. We're told that the truth will set us free. John 8:32. The truth will set us free. How much truth do we have around us? If you translate that as knowledge, I mean, this is the information age. So much truth is available to us, and yet we still live in bondage. We're still living broken or not whole, not put back together in some places of our heart, some areas. So why is that? I think it's because God desires truth where? Where does he desire truth? Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost places. Yeah, this psalmist understood that God is going deep with us. And he wants to get into those deeper places, the places that keep you from singing for 10 years, the places that keep you from taking control of your life and having some habit, like collecting teddy bears, take over. And what is it for you, you know? Maybe something surfacing in you going, yeah, I know this one thing that's just not right with me that I've kind of owned as it's just who I am, and it keeps me in bondage, but I guess I have to live with it. No, the Holy Spirit was given to us and lives in us to get down into those deeper places, root out the lies, put together that broken heart, and so that truth can now be founded there, be grounded there, and grow in the inner places of your heart. That's where God's after. So I have a question for you. Okay, just kind of a test to see how you react to this question. I'll just give you a minute to think about it. But you're asking yourself this question. What do I love about myself? Just say that to yourself. What do I love about myself? Think about it for a minute. You got your list? You got 6 or 8 things that you love about yourself? How does it make you feel to ask that question? What feelings stir up in you? It makes you want to laugh. It feels, yeah, kind of weird to ask the question. Was it easy? Was it easy for anybody, honestly, if it was? Sure. Okay, awesome. Short list. Short list, but it was easy. Yeah, I was with some friends this last week, and the question, we were talking about things we loved about another person, and the question kind of jokingly came up, what do you love? Now we're going to ask you, now that we told you what we love about you, now what do you love about yourself? Ha, 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 funny. Well, and then that guy turned it on me, and he said, no, let's do that. Let's go around the room, starting with you, Jeff. Tell me what you love about yourself. And I'm like, this is wrong. This is prideful. You know, can I think of, you know, something? Well, and something comes to your mind pretty quick. But then you're like, oh, this is kind of embarrassing to share, you know, that I like this about myself. Or love others. Like who? Love others like you love yourself. Do unto others as you would unto yourself. Christ loves and admires things about us because he made us in a certain way. And he made us to reflect his image. why is it so difficult to answer this question with confidence? Yeah, you raised your hand that it was easy. Okay, it's not easy for everybody right now. So think about how Jesus goes after, wow, time flies. Think about how Jesus goes after Peter. It's a beautiful picture of what we're trying to get at Adventure when we talk about the stream of healing. Okay? Side note, there's a book called Brave Enough to Follow by Stuart Briscoe, and the whole book is about Peter and getting in the head of what he probably experienced in his walk from coming to be a follower of Christ all the way through past the resurrection. And it's really cool. And you get more of a picture of what this man went through. But imagine, here's Jesus approaching Peter after his resurrection, after Peter had denied him three times. I don't know who Jesus is. Okay? And so Jesus comes back and he goes after that very thing. He doesn't just come back, you know, he comes back and he comes to the shore and they're out fishing. He's like, try the other side, and they catch all these fish, and it's Jesus, you know. Peter jumps out of the boat, swims in, embraces him. Okay, good. All good, right? Let's just move on. Okay, Jesus is just going to move on and give Peter instructions for, okay, great, you're back in. You know, you're willing to embrace me. Obviously, you know that you're accepted. And no, Jesus knows there's deeper places in our hearts that he has to go after. And there's deeper places in Peter's heart that he has to go after. He's not going to overlook it. And we'd like to react, and we do oftentimes react like Peter, and just, yeah, let's not go there, Jesus. Let's just move on, and I love you, and I'm willing to jump in the water and swim to you, and I'm passionate, and let's just move on. But Jesus knows that his son, his disciple, Peter, will not be free for the rest of his life from that. He's going to carry that suitcase with him, unless he deals directly with it. And there's those places in our hearts that God wants to deal with and get rid of them so that we can walk free. So he goes after Peter. Does somebody have a booming voice and the Bible, both those things, that they could read? Somebody willing to read that story? Ed? Do you have a Bible too? Okay. So it's John chapter 21. I wanted to do it old school instead of just throw it up on the PowerPoint. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19. And listen in the story to where Jesus goes with Peter. So they just finished. So hold on a sec. So they just finished this breakfast, this cookout that Jesus had prepared for them. You know, they caught all these fish. They counted the fish. You know, to the fish, they knew how many they had. I'm just picturing this whole event. They're all just freaked out, you know. They pull in all these fish. There's 152 or whatever it was of them. And Jesus already has some fish cooking for them. They finish. It's just, this is great. We're back together again. And then Jesus looks with those piercing eyes at Peter. And pick up verse 15 through 19. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself. You went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you want, where you do not want to go." Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "This is to indicate the kind of death of which Peter would glorify God." Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Mm. The very end of that is actually the really significant part that I'm getting at here. Okay, yes, he goes back to the wound. He asks him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter's hurt. But then what does he do? He goes right into the fear that kept Peter from claiming to be a follower. He says, "Now," because Jesus knows Peter's heart. He knows deep down Peter will follow him to the end. And so he goes back again to that same fear that made Peter say, "I don't know Jesus," and says, "You're going to die for me. You're going to be crucified. Now follow me." And Peter's like, "Yeah, I am. I am willing. I will follow you." And he goes back into it, and he goes right down to the fear and stirs it all up. You know, he hurts Peter's heart, stirs it all up, and he says, "Now I know who you are. Right now in this moment, I know who you are, Peter. Follow me." And he wants to do that with us. Okay, he took me into my fear, my greatest fear, with the singing thing that had shut me down. It's more than just about singing. It's about my heart being free to live the way he made me. And I was fearful, you know. And then he put me into situations where I had to face that fear, but then he walked with me to restore it and to get me back on solid ground again with who I was. One more story, probably, because I'm not going to get to the two more stories. This morning is mostly just stories, okay? Looking at how Jesus comes in and restores. This is my son, Benjamin. Some of you are going, "You have a son, Benjamin? I've never met him before." Some of you are wondering, "Where's Benjamin been the last 6 months or so?" Star and I adopted Benjamin in Albania, when we lived in Albania 10, 12 years ago. So we adopted Benji about 10 years ago when he was 2 years old from an orphanage. And it has been a difficult, difficult journey because Benji has a story too. And I share this story because it's very personal and therefore it should be shared with you guys as my family. We're an open book, by the way. I know some of you have seen us with Benji and now Benji hasn't been around and you're wondering, but, you know, naturally you're like, "I don't want to ask because I don't know what, you know, where Benji is." And just ask us and we'll talk with you. Most of you you know the story, you know, and you know the details. But I'll just share a little bit with you this morning in the context of healing. Benjamin was abandoned as a child at birth. Something I can't imagine trying to get over, you know, just that feeling. And it's a feeling that even a baby can sense, you know, this familiarity with your mom that you have, and then she's gone. There's a fear that rises up in there inside that's going to happen again, right? So this little boy grows up and he spends 2 years in an orphanage. And, you know, workers come and go, and there's not a lot. There's some consistency. It was a good orphanage, but there's, you know, not the consistency of a family. And so he develops this fear of letting anybody get really close, because what can happen if someone's close? They can hurt you. They can leave you. So we noticed from age two that there was something going on in his heart, because we had two other kids at that point. We had Lydia and Bear, and then we adopted Benjamin, and we had this difference we were seeing in his fear of attachment to us as his parents. So that goes on for 5, 6, 8, 10 years. And as he grows, it becomes more acute. And Star and I get all these messages about here we came, we were going to be the heroes. We were going to sweep in and rescue this boy from this orphanage. And he was going to be like Annie, you know, and just embrace us and see us as his heroes. But it was the opposite. We represented one of his greatest fears, which is long-lasting relationship. Because what if that gets torn again? He doesn't want to be hurt again. So that's developed into this just really difficult struggle for him, but also for Star and I in our journeys. And that's kind of what I'm talking about right now. Benji's still on a journey. He's in a place where they're trying to help him learn that family is where he belongs. It's the best place for him. It's okay to attach and let people get close to you. He's extremely charming. Most of you hear me talking right now and you're like, what? You know, we experienced Benji on Sunday morning and you just wouldn't believe the strife that it's been. But you guys aren't trying to be his parents and trying to develop that intimate relationship that a mother and father have with their son. That's the threat to him. That's the fear. So he's there. He'll probably be there for several more months, and you may see him back here. I don't know how the story's going to play out from there. You know, I don't know if he'll be at a place where he's ready for that. I hope he will be. I believe he can be. By the way, Benjamin, if you're listening to this recording, I love you, and I believe in you. So where do Star and I go with this as parents? Okay, we've got all these experiences from our different children, and the questions are coming up in our hearts. Are we good parents? What have we done wrong? What have we done right? Where's this all mixed up in just woundings and things that need to be healed in Benjamin's heart, in our hearts? And there's the opportunity and the potential for us to be thrown completely sideways in our lives as parents. What I've learned in the past few years is to take those moments to the Lord. And that's the stream of healing, to walk with him in the moments where you're asking the questions. Because we ask the questions. You guys know the questions that you need to take to God when it comes to healing, because you play them in your own mind. You talk to yourself. And the perfect question comes out to take to the Lord. Write it down, spend some time with God in it, and you can get some answers. I want to read just from my journal one of those moments regarding Benjamin and what I feel like the Lord had to say to me. And this is just how I've experienced the Lord through the years develop, is sometimes he'll have a conversation with me and I write it down, and I get done writing and I have to go back and read it because I have no idea what I just wrote. It's like my mind, my thoughts, and my wisdom are bypassed by the Spirit. And I write it out and then I go back and read it and go, what did I just read? And it's the Lord speaking back to me. There's different ways that the Lord speaks. It doesn't have to look like that. Or he'll give me a picture or something that helps me identify with it. But so in that place, I'm wondering, all these years, this is, you know, probably 8-9 years into working with Benjamin and trying to reach his heart. And so the question on the table is, have I wasted all that time trying to reach him? You know, was it wasted time? So my question was, why has the long road with Benjamin come to this, Lord? And this is what I felt like the Lord wanted to express to me, something like this. Long road? ? I'm sure you have experienced it as long, but I blink my eyes and it is but 1,000 years. I say this not to diminish what you have been through, but to give it perspective, to give you hope that not as much has been lost as you feel. And not all of it is loss. And then he gives me this picture of this eagle. He says, does an eagle waste the time that he soars but finds no food? No, he must search. How and when I bring food is my perfect timing. You have offered Benjamin life, love, structure, leadership, encouragement. He has overlooked some of it. That you offered it was not a waste of your time. That he did not receive it is not a waste of your time. The receiving is what I ask of him. No man wastes time who does what I ask of him. There's no need to measure the results when you walk in obedience. You have done well. Now that saved me, saved my life from continuing from that moment measuring who I am by the results. Okay, we do that. It's human nature. We measure by results. Okay, we're obedient to God, and then we trust him with the results, and we trust the story that he's playing out. We can't take over the results part and go, okay, I did this and this result. Okay, therefore, that means this about me. Now, God's spoken many things to me about how I can grow and about how in that difficulty with Benjamin, I went to wrong places with it because of my own brokenness in my heart. And he's brought a lot of healing there for me, and he's given me a lot of wisdom about how to pursue Benjamin moving forward and help him get to that place of being able to receive love and receive deep, meaningful relationships. But that was a lifesaver, and it's just taking that question to the Lord instead of stewing on it, coming to my own conclusions, wedging those down into the inner parts, the deep places of my soul, and then living out of those, which is kind of the way that we operate sometimes. I wish I had more time. But that's probably enough to digest for right now. So, as you can see, just in closing here, the streams all play together. And Jerry's going to come next week and talk about community. But just think about the stream of healing and how all of these are at play. You know, if you're really engaged in each of these, in my healing journey, it was walking with God, what I just read out of my journal, hearing him, taking my question to him. I had a guy just last night, a close friend of mine who's been out hunting. It just was discouraged. Then he comes back and he's just like, Jeff, I just had to call you because you're my hunting buddy. But he went out by himself and spent a couple days out in the woods and just was discouraged and just felt something wasn't right. And I you know, shared with him, encouraged him. And then he called me a couple hours later and he's like, I'm going to go next year again, because he was debating whether he's going to hunt anymore. I'm going to go again next year. You know, I just want to know, why do I keep doing this to myself? Why do I want to go so bad? And then I have these emotions. And I said, that's the perfect question for God. That's the question you need to take to God. Why do I keep doing this? And let him speak into that. See, we have the questions that we need to take to the Lord. It's just we chew on them like a cud, and then we swallow them, and we live by them. Just take it to the Lord and ask him. Okay, that's discipleship. And community came into play there too, right? Talking it out with somebody else maybe to get to a place where you can find the questions to take to God. Warfare. Man, have I had to fight through warfare for healing. It's the warfare is taking out the lies that have rooted in there and replacing them with the truth. So that's the four streams. Excited to hear about community next week. So just I want to close with a prayer. At Adventure Church, we've seen a lot of people find freedom. Yes, I will. Thank you. We've seen a lot of people find freedom in this journey of healing and that restoration that comes. I'm not done. I'm continuing to say, Jesus, reveal places in my heart that need put back together, that need whole. Why did I react? Why do I react all the time in a conversation this way when somebody says that? You know, get down in there and bring that fullness of life, Jesus. It's available to all of us. So I'm going to pray, and then I have a few suggestions if you want to go deeper in this, and then we've got some announcements. So let's pray. Jesus, I am so overwhelmed with hope and joy that you are doing what you said you came to do, and that I've been blessed to be able to start to experience that. In recent years, that you said you came to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free, and you're doing that. The good news just keeps getting better. The more I see the freedom you're bringing to the brothers and sisters around me, to myself and my walk with you, Lord, I just pray right now, if something is stirred up in any individual here this morning, you know the place that God wants to go after. You know a place that he's surfacing where it's not freedom. It's not abundant, exploding life. It's not wholeness. It's brokenness. Lord, would you go after those places, and would you help them know what the next step is to find freedom from those things, because it's available. I know that that's what you want. That's your heart for everybody this morning. And so we thank you for your goodness in pursuing our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are getting a start on that journey. There are some booklets on the back sound booth. If you want to take one of those, it kind of walks you through some questions to take to God and some things to consider that could get you started on a healing journey in an area of your life. Two books that do that at even deeper level are Wild at Heart and Captivating. John and Stacy Eldridge have done a great job of putting together a journey that kind of takes you at the right pace into a healing journey in some of those areas of your life where you know there's brokenness, you know that the story has affected you. So I would recommend those books as well. You get into one of those books and you're like, okay, I'm stuck in the weeds here. You know, this has stirred things up and you need help. Maybe there's a place for counseling and there's a place for community, just walking with somebody else through that journey. Then let me know, let Randy know or Jerry, and we'll help connect you with somebody that can take you, walk with you in that healing journey. So, Beth.
All right.
And you want the clicker.
Oh, sure. Ooh. Power. Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth, and I have the clicker. Look, it did it by itself. I'm obviously not Seth Clemens' lead team, but I'm his other half. So, I love taking the moment of announcements as an opportunity to expect that God is tying what we just learned about into the actual dailies of our life. So, as we go through the announcements this morning, it's a great time to ask, is this some opportunity that God is providing for me for healing or to walk between healing and community? And I think we'll find that there are a few of those. So we have an amazing team putting together a children's program for Christmas. You may have kids that are already in it or a part of it or have seen them in between services being adorable. And they are looking for one last role to be filled. I think it's just one last role. They need an adult woman who loves to sing and who can fill out a connection card. it's a fun role. It should be a really great time getting to work with these kids. They just adore the whole process and all of the people who pour into them. And this is a good open door for a first exposure. So if you think it might be you, you'll notice I have not signed up for that, right? And it's because I went to God and I asked him, and he said, I want a void. There is someone I want to draw up. And so it might be you, if you're feeling like it might be. That's a good one to take to the Lord and ask him, maybe I have a wound from when I was 9 that needs healing. Here's my chance. All right.
I'm not
and,
a woman, though, so I can't do it.
Let's take a look. Oh, and if you want to talk to someone about that, see Robin right here, Robin. And she can give you all the details that you would need. Or Sarah, who was in blue over here. You know what? Let's do this one. I don't know why it went ahead. But to tie into that, if you're feeling like you know that God has just put a place in your heart for children, there's a place for you here. And Cindy Griffin is the person you're going to want to talk to about that. I think she'll be here for the next service. I don't see you out there, Cindy. There are needs all over the place. And we treat the people who love on our kids very well and very considerately. You're really important to us. We know the difference that you are making. Okay, I think I need to go backwards to get to mops, right? Help me. I'm putting this down. there is a Mom's Night Out movie event coming up for MOPS. Well, MOPS is hosting it, actually, on November 14th at 7 p.m. right here. You can read. I know you're literate. What? I didn't do that. It wasn't me. Go back. Help me. so bring a friend and a snack to share. All women are welcome. We'd love to see you there. So if you just need a reason to head out, do that. La, 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 changing slides. okay, let's go on past these. This one gets me. I like this picture, for starters. But also, as a person strongly attached to a man, the men's retreat always gets me eager for this moment. This thing makes a huge difference. It's a couple of days, and I would love to put in my little two bits. I always think these things when I get, oh, I got a microphone. I got to say this. Men's retreats change wives, not just lives, okay, men? So if you, when you go to a men's retreat, your wives just, they see the investment that you are making in that healing journey, and they respect you, and they admire you for it. So go for it. And women, give up a couple coffees. Make some space in the budget. Make sure it can happen, right? We'll stand up for that. If you want more information about that, I'm sure that you could talk to Jeff or any of the other guys that are already headed that way. But one really important piece is if you want to go and you'd like for there to be some food there when you get there, you need to give them some money ahead of time. So you need to pay today if you want to register for that opportunity. So please, is there like a sign up in the back or something?
Yeah.
So find that. And make sure it happens. It's well worth your time and money. Oh, yeah. We have online things that work. It's so amazing. And then can we go to the next slide? Sorry. Oh. Okay, this is actually the reason that I ended up with the microphone today. The Duval Christmas tree lighting. You know that this gets me all excited, too. As a family at Adventure, we each have a little piece of glory as unique individuals, pieces of God's unique likeness that he's put in us that we can shine out. When we all come together, something that is characteristic of our body is we celebrate really, really well. And I love celebrating with all of you. The Christmas tree lighting is one of those moments where we can do that. We bake cookies, we make muffins, we assemble lampposts, we put up tents, we put up sparkle lights, we do the things that that make the celebration easy for everyone to enjoy, and we have a great time doing it. And I know a lot of you have probably received emails from me in the past that say, come and play with us, and then you get it and you go, does this mean I need to bring my work boots? Because when Beth says come play with me, I usually need some tools. But I'd like to ask, if you've done that, if you've been a part of one of those playing with and joining God in something celebratory, have you ever regretted it? Or have you actually really had fun? Christina, don't answer. And she was like, that's youth ministry, that's different. This one, which is the first weekend in December, not only do we have an opportunity for you to bake cookies and do all that stuff that you've done before in the past, and we love your cookies, but this year we're going to try to do something. We're going to overlay another layer of awesome on top of that and take who we are to Duval. There's more details to come, and maybe BJ will share some more about that at a future date, but we're going to take that Grinch theme that we know is a cultural holiday thing, and we are going to become the Whovillians. The thing that makes this cool is we all show up en masse. There's a whole bunch of us, right? And we'll tell you more about what that might look like, but the commitment level is show up and have fun and maybe a silly hat or some like antlers or something like that. So we'll let you know more about what's coming on that, but it won't work without you. Not only do I want you there and the rest of the folks who are coming, but God wants you to come and play with him, and he's really excited to do this fun thing together. All right, I think that's the last of me.
So that is Beth, my better third. So I have 2 minutes now. Great. All right, so 7 years ago, I'll try to go really fast. 7 years ago, Beth and I, we moved out to this area. And when we were starting to look at churches, we found, of course, this weird little small church with a crazy name called Adventure Church. And I remember both of us going, Adventure Church? What is this, like some sort of river rafting guide? I've never heard of a church called Adventure before. Within a few months of us coming here, I went on my first men's retreat. And I guess I learned a little bit about what the adventure means. Any guys who've been on a men's retreat here before? I remember being fully dressed in camo. The leaders show us up, drop us off at a river, and then disappear and say, we'll see you. Here's some instructions. We build our raft out of scraps. And I remember sharing my raft with Dennis, and as the first rapids we hit, it disintegrated, fell on top of us. We're floating down the river, holding on to pieces. We get to a beach where there's smoke bombs, and we're crawling up the sand while they're shooting at us with airsoft. And I'm like, what the heck did I just sign up to? And then we get to a clearing. There's this, like, sand hill, and on the top they've mounted a tripod with a saw on top. And they're like, you need to charge up the hill. And I'm like, what the heck? Airsoft. I don't know why I called it airsaw. So, yeah, all right. And then the next year, then Randy's coming to me and asking, hey, do you want to lead dessert theater, Christmas dessert theater? So we're stepping out, and we're trying to lead a dessert theater, doing something I've never done in my life. Jeff Cole is saying, hey, do you want to be a part of worship ministry? Asking, hey, do you want to be a part of this? He's pushing me out to try doing solos. BJ goes, hey, why don't you join youth ministry with me? We end up going to Ethiopia, doing mission trips. We start a school, Apostle University. And then we even rent a defunct Titan nuclear missile silo with 45,000 square feet of underground tunnels and buildings to host a youth event, airsoft event. Adventure is right. Are you kidding me? I had no idea. I was in my happy little desk job before I came here. How many people, since you have come here, have been a part of adventures that you never would have been had you not been in this community? This is not a safe, comfortable place. I can assure you that. If that's what you were expecting, this is not the community for you. This is a community of adventure, and you will be pushed. You will be uncomfortable. You will be challenged. You will be tested. The lead team has been praying about what is next. For 10 years, adventure has been started. 10 years ago, Randy heard from God to say, take a risk, step out. And he had this idea of where he wanted to go, where he would plant a church, and he heard from God, go to Duval. And he heard Duval is a place where churches go to die. It doesn't make sense. Like, that's not what I do want to do. It makes it uncomfortable. And he said, God said, go. Randy said, yes. And I believe that that has started a culture for this community that we have all experienced. This is a community of people who step out, step into risk because God said, go. We've prayed about what is next, and God is saying, we want you to move. We want you to go. We want you to step out and risk. And for a lot of us, the idea is this place has become comfortable. I have so many memories here. I have so many places here. This is a comfortable place for me now. And the fact that God is asking me to step out one more time into something uncomfortable, one more time into risk, I can say, is it any surprise? Is it any surprise? When we prayed over it, we heard that this place was a base camp. But God, in bringing the kingdom of God to Duval, wanted us to step out into this move. We have no idea what that means. No idea how that's going to play out. But in 1 Deuteronomy, well, when we're praying about this, it led to 1 Deuteronomy 1:7. And it says here, God said, you have stayed at this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and move on. If you have found yourself feeling at arm's length with the move, like, I don't know why this is happening. I'm kind of comfortable here. I'm sure I'll follow, we'll go, but I haven't really fully invested or bought into the move myself, either personally, spiritually, emotionally, financially. I would say, hop on board to the adventure. This is a chance to say, God, I understand that the logistics of this is going to make me uncomfortable. I don't know what's going to happen with parking, with service times, with children's ministry. I don't understand any of those logistics yet. And honestly, we're figuring all those out as we go too. But I guarantee you that stepping onto the adventure with, onto the mission and being on an adventure with God will be worth it. If you have not committed already, we have cards in the back to say, how much do you want to pledge? They're being held up right back there. So if you have right now saying that I want to be able to pledge, to take a step, to take a risk, to help support this move, we need your investment. We need you to be all in. So make sure you take a card on your way out. Hey, have a great weekend. Go Seahawks. See you next week.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Oh,